Pickaxe.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 Euro bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 Euro gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 Euro. Oder Mucki Sandwich Eis, je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 Euro. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Triforce podcast. This one actually was going out on the 30th of October, so it will be Halloween. Hallows Eve.
Still a day away.
We've also done a Yog Pod. Me and Simon did a Halloween Yog Pod. So the rival podcast, you know, we'll see which one gets the most downloads, shall we?
Whose side are you on?
I'm on my own side because I'm in both. So listen up. So before we start recording, Sips was like, Lewis, I've got, I'm coming to Bristol to see Ghostface Killer. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, this happened, yeah.
And you were like, I bought full tickets in case they ran out. And I was like, okay. And so he was, and then you said, I've got two tickets left. And I was like, oh, who else is going? And you said, you are.
I thought you said you were up for going.
I was like,
I mean, you don't have to. You don't have to go if you don't want to.
Okay.
It'll be really fun though. Trust me, it'll be really good.
No, I'm up. I'm down. I'm up and down.
Yeah. He's a legend. He's a classic, right? And you can't, it's his official UK tour as well. You want to see all the venues he's going to be playing at on his official UK tour?
No, but I will listen to you tell
Bristol
me.
Bristol and London, that's it. Two shows. Yeah,
I heard T-Pain had to cancel his tour because lack of ticket sales. So I'm glad we're supporting these late 90s R&B hip-hop acts. What is he classic? What's he defined as? What's the genre?
I'd say he's probably like, he's got to be, well, part of the Wu-Tang. They got to be kind of like founding fathers of that golden era hip-hop leading into what's now modern. I think the Zoomers shun them now, but I think for a while there they were like considered, you know, the best. But now
the Zoomers are they the millennial post-millennial?
Yeah, they all got they record their beats and they mumble rap on their devices and stuff like that nowadays. But but back then you had to have some substance about you. You know, you came from some hard times and you had some shit to rhyme about. And
now, it was all grimy and dirty.
It was very
like
grimy
back then. But now it's like dog face emojis.
His style is still very much like that. You know, there's still a very like 90s vibe to his music. So
it's interesting to me because this is a new branch of a new music genre. Rap didn't exist really it barely existed in the 80s. It was kind of like a hip, a hop, a hippie, hippie, hip, hop, hoop, hip, hop. Like that was the extent of rap.
Yeah.
Like they rhymed road with toad and chode and
like
stuff.
The the Fresh Prince era.
No, that was when it was actually like the 90s was like hip hop and rap music and gangster rap and everything really came out. But it was around in the 80s.
I think it was like Jam Master Jay.
Jam Master Jay, yeah. He's, you know.
Actually, I think he was.
But now those guys are old enough that they can do like greatest hits tours. And creaky old man on tour in his 50s, still rapping. It's like, this is like when rock music and heavy metal now goes through that kind of... Because I watched that documentary about Rush, which I really recommend if you've ever heard of the band Rush, which you should have. They're a hugely successful band that never got the popular acceptance because they were seen as too cheesy or too silly. And a lot of music journalists turned their nose up at them. But Rush owns, and Iron Maiden own... And they're great. And they still tour. And these guys are old as fuck.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that these rappers are now doing the same thing because they're old as fuck by comparison to... They're not some 19-year-old with the number 69 tattooed on his face. You know, these guys are from a different generation and they're still going. How old is that crowd going to be?
Look at the Rolling Stones. I mean, Jesus.
If you can stand to.
So,
a bunch of
raisins. I mean, they're obviously massively arthritic and all wrinkled up and all weird. They're like rubber... puppets. I mean, they look like something kind of spitting image, but they were like, they're still, if you're a rapper and you start getting old, can you still rap, or do you start doing the mumble rap? Is that where it's come from?
I think you develop like your style or whatever, and then it evolves somewhat, but it still has like a foundation sort of thing. So like a lot of like rappers that you hear from the 90s, they still sound very much the same, although their voices are like a little bit deeper because they've gotten older or whatever, you know, their bodies are starting to betray them and stuff like that. But I mean, like all the Wu guys are like almost 50.
Yeah, now. Are they as good as ever? I'm just wondering, like,
yeah, what they're still as good, but I mean,
age doesn't seem to fuck over their guitar playing or necessarily their singing.
No, but I mean, it's like anything. When you're younger and you're hungrier for things or whatever, your music, your output's gonna be much different, isn't it? Like, if you have something to say or whatever. I mean, these guys have been millionaires for decades now, so it's like, their experiences and stuff. Yeah, they could go back to them and talk about the old days or whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, most of them are like pretty happy and comfortable now. So like, I guess a lot of their new music will be influenced by that more so than, you know, like, oh, fuck, I watched my friend die and stuff like that in the streets. And you know what I mean? Like, I think it was like a lot more raw and desperate in the early days when they had nothing. And then once they become established and stuff, it changes.
Is that why people liked it? I mean, that's the thing with YouTube as well, right? And Twitch, the authenticity of the people is part of it, right? You want to believe that you are watching one guy in his bedroom or so, almost allowing one or two people to have their own freed ability to get out to the masses. I guess that's, I'm just saying that's the equivalent, you know, it's like when it was like one guy from the hood or whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about. You know,
coming up with songs that were genuine, or affected
by his small area. It feels more pure, I guess. Like, I don't know, like, there's always been that, though, hasn't there? Like, rather than the manufactured kind of
everything's
way.
Better before money gets in there, I'm telling you. Once these big companies come in and decide they're going to start molding people and producing people into, we think you're a talent, so we're going to mold you and come up with an image for you and all this kind of stuff. And it fucking sucks, man. The music industry is horrible. There's loads of people getting ripped off by the big companies, which sucks. And there's loads of people having their creativity beaten out of them by fucking contracts and asshole companies and fuck them all.
Yeah. It is amazing, like, how those asshole contracts seem to be still a thing. Like, one of the things that we do is that, like, I've always said, you know, all of our contracts in the Yogscast with everyone are literally not worth the paper they're written on. Because if you want to leave or do anything,
I mean, just call my lawyer.
Yeah, I wiped my ass with mine the other day.
I'm never gonna be that asshole guy who's like, well, actually, in the contract it says you have to do this. It's like, well, it's just not worth it. Like, to rock the boat and just cause trouble for everyone. I don't see why, you know, it seems like, because you hear about this, like, you know, like sort of teenage, you know, pop stars get signed to like lifetime contracts and stuff and, you know, terrible exploitative things, or their parents take like, you know, all the money and run off. Yeah, it seems like a real common thing to happen.
Kid stars, that happens with a lot, because I think even to get your kids into that sort of thing to begin with, I mean, a kid's not going to want to become an actor or a singer or anything at that age. They don't know what the hell's going on. So that's like purely driven by the parents, who then can see the dollar signs in their eyes sort of thing, right? Like, you see like a lot of YouTube kids are like that now too, you know, like the ones that open toys and stuff. There's no way that they woke up and thought, I'm just going to get myself some equipment and I've got a really good idea for a format and you know, I'm just going to open up Kinder Surprise eggs and just see what's inside and just let the camera capture the magic, you know? Like, fucking, he's like a 7-year-old kid. Like, it's totally his dad and mom putting him up to it, thinking that they're going to get a big payday sort of thing, you know what I mean?
And then as soon as they get a big payday, they're like, we have to keep this going.
Of course, but then the kid is fucked up going into later years, because then the kid's like, well, hang on, that's my money. Like, where's all my money? And the parents have just like pissed it up a wall.
That kid is fucked up because he's constantly trying to open Kinder eggs. Yeah. He's like burning out on them. He's got like several YouTube channels
and
going.
And what have his parents done with it? They bought a whole bunch of rustic themed wooden ornaments for their house. That's all they got to show for it after it's all done.
It started to like borrow money to buy Fabergé eggs and open those up.
Country home. Home is where the heart is, with a wire to hold it up. And you know, like those ornaments that you get, like those like rustic.
He gets really fat and starts turning like egg shaped. He's like Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah.
He's all standing on a wall one day and he's like, just I want to end it all. He falls off.
Do you think, how many YouTubers do you think? Like I was going to say, like a lot of bands, I was going to say they're the best that they, like the best that they produce is very early in their career because they're not jaded, they're not rich. They've got angst and hunger.
I completely agree.
Yeah, and they're not being interfered with. So I think how many YouTubers, their early stuff when it's raw and honest before they start going, hey guys, thanks. Let me just take a moment to give a shout out to our sponsor, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like 5 minute intro to the video of them running over some product. And then they talked about subscribing. And then they talk about some other videos and they respond to some comments. And then you get into the meat of their video. It was much better when it was just them thinking, what's this YouTube thing? Let me just chuck some shit out there and see how that goes.
It's totally a cycle, right? And it does come out the other end. And some people can transcend the cycle. But I think, yeah, you're right. Mostly it is someone doing it passionately. They love their thing. They're really excited about it. They put loads of work into it, loads of joy into it. And then they start realizing that they could do it for a career. So they do it for a career, but then either it doesn't work out or they lose the energy themselves, or it starts having, you know, it's not making that much money. So they have to then feel like they have to push all these sponsors and do all this stuff.
Yeah.
Or even if it is very successful and they're already loaded, they still feel like that's the route that takes. And then eventually they slowly lose their passion for it until they find a sort of plateau of something that works for them, which is probably different to the original thing because they've changed over time. You see it again and again on YouTube.
I was talking about this yesterday when I was streaming, talking about selling out and degrees of selling out and stuff. And it's weird, isn't it? Like we're talking about, you know, like how I'm playing Minecraft now. And for a while, I was always like, oh, God, I can't believe people still play Minecraft. It was a fad from like a while ago or whatever. But I've actually like enjoyed playing it recently because I've actually playing the game properly instead of just, you know, recording it for YouTube or whatever. Like I built some cool stuff that I'm proud of. Like I'm getting into like some of the different mechanics of the game and everything. And it's just become like a bit like satisfactory or factorial or something, you know, like I'm just automating everything and building stuff. And so I feel because I'm enjoying it, I don't feel like a big sellout just for picking up a game that was like trending or whatever, because I'm genuinely enjoying it. Right. Like I don't feel like I'm forcing myself every day to play it for money and for, you know, more followers or whatever. And there's a very fine line, isn't there? Like it can just quickly become like, I'm just doing this for the money or I'm just
Fortnite, you know, I've been playing Fortnite a bit and, you know, I've been streaming it getting like to the top of Twitch with my Fortnite streams. And, you know, I always thought that Fortnite was just like shitty.
You've been trying to join a pro team, TSM Lewis. You're trying to become the next big 16-year-old pro.
I mean, now I'm getting into the mechanics of Fortnite and I'm starting to understand it. I'm starting to love it. You know, before I was just, you know, recording it for the money. But now, you know, I really love the game.
Yeah.
I love the players.
Yeah, I've gone like the opposite way because I used to actually just record Minecraft for the money because it was popular. And I knew I could make money and get views from it. And now I still can, but I actually enjoy playing the game now.
I thought you were playing Minecraft because your kid was playing Minecraft.
Originally, I started because he was getting into it. And we still play it. Like,
yeah, I thought you did. You played it together. And I thought that was quite wholesome. And I think that's like a good intro. And I don't think you need to.
It was a
like,
good intro. Yeah.
Or anything. I never even suspected that you thought like you were doing it for the trending reasons or whatever. I just.
Sometimes you find a game and you're playing. I don't feel like I have to justify it much. I just find it interesting. Interesting, you know, like how easy it is to sell out. But then what actually constitutes selling out, right? And there's like varying degrees of it, like selling out.
Well, someone who's very paranoid about that idea because you grew up with this like Nirvana-y kind of fuck the man kind of attitude where, you know, selling out was seen as, and still today I'm very uncomfortable doing any kind of brand sponsorships or anything. But I've come to terms with it because for a start, sometimes you do one sponsorship and it pays the same as an entire month worth of videos.
Well, yeah, especially YouTube these days. Fuck me.
Yeah.
God.
And then the other thing is like, you know, you do one and it's actually something you're kind of into anyway. And it's like, well, I was sort of probably going to do, I wanted to do something around this anyway. So
I think the important thing is, and I like if I ever do any content really where I'm being paid for it, if it's something I actively dislike or don't want to play, I need to make sure that people are aware that I'm I'm not going to be nice about the thing I'm playing for money.
Right.
Right. Like, for example, the Crunchyroll thing.
Well, I don't think you should be doing that, really.
Doing
like sponsorships around things you
don't
like.
Being honest about stuff. They don't want you to, they don't pay you to be
honest.
Right,
but that's what I'm saying, is I'm not going to go in and say, like, for instance, let's say League of Legends. Let's say Riot, for some reason, offered to pay me money to play their game and see how great it was. That, to me, would be selling out.
Yeah.
If I'm going to go against stuff I've said before or hold an opinion that's contrary to my real opinion for money, that's selling out.
Well,
if someone's going to pay me to play a game I already play and say nice things about it, I'm doing that anyway. Why not get paid for it? I don't think that's selling out. I think selling out is when you compromise your values or change the way you're doing stuff. Like, imagine if Sips' stream completely changed and he was like super upbeat. Hey guys, welcome. Don't forget to mash that subscribe button and stuff
I mean,
that,
I have
been
doing all that as well and also dressing up like a clown. But I still don't feel like I'm fully selling out.
I don't think that's fully selling out, but yeah.
No.
It's close.
I've made a lot of money off of other people's Minecraft parody music recently as well, which I'm not sure legally where I stand on that, but it has been fairly lucrative because I hate them all so much. People are willing to donate a lot of money to get me to play them. I can't refuse.
Right.
If somebody gives me $50 to play a song, I'm playing that song. You know what I mean? They're selling out and then there's just like hating money, right?
I mean, that's right. Yeah.
There's a balance in there somewhere. So
everybody got
bills
to
there
pay.
Is definitely a balance. I do love money.
Yeah, so, I don't dislike money. So somewhere in there's a sweet spot. But I don't want to listen to those.
I remember Jesse had a way like of doing his brand deals that was like, you know, Jesse sells out. I think it was even called Jesse Sells Out. Yeah,
it was really funny. Yeah,
and he just did a sponsorship every week, and I really respected that actually, and really liked that attitude towards it. And I think that was really positive.
I think my biggest problem with sponsorships is I would probably do sponsorships deals more often if they were offered to me, because I truly believe that nobody wants to touch me with a barge pole. Like, they just see me as some sort of like leper on the platform, and they don't want to give me any opportunities to.
They have tuned into your Twitch.
Nobody wants to sponsor me. So yeah. I mean. So of course I can berate sellouts and stuff because I'm not getting any opportunities, so I got nothing to lose. It's fucking assholes.
This is the kind of fucking chat sellouts we have at the pub where we lament how old we are and like how we're not getting offered anything and how it was all good back in the day.
You can't compete with these young whippersnappers coming in there with their TikToks
and their clip-clops.
Oh, fuck me.
It does feel like we're a bunch of old prospectors and these young punks have come in with their clever prospecting techniques and we resent them.
It's an interesting viewpoint as well, because there's a lot of people out there, more so than ever now. It always has been a popular thing for people to dabble in and try to make it on Twitch and stuff like that. But I think it's good if you're an aspiring streamer, YouTuber, whatever, to get some of these insights at least. Most of them are joking, but you know what I mean?
How often do you guys get asked for advice from people looking to get into what
fairly
we do?
Fairly often, but it's always like, what are some tips I could use to get into it? And I never know what to say because my whole experience and journey has been unlike many others. Like I was pretty much handed a fan base. And Lewis one day just said to me, do you want to play more video games and make money off them? And I said, yes. He's like, okay, cool. And that's how it started. So like, I never got into any of this because I loved making videos and content and I wanted to dabble around with the platforms and stuff like that.
No, if Sips would still be working in a bank, entertaining like the five guys that he works with, and they'd be having a whale of a time, but no one else would, you know?
Yeah.
That would be how it would be set up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people I really respect on YouTube. Like, I really love watching, like, Tom Scott's videos where he goes around the world and looks at weird shit, like a toxic pit in the ground.
I do like Tom Scott, but I think he's not funny, which I do find quite annoying.
Yeah,
but he sometimes tries to be. And I do think his he needs to get a fucking haircut, Tom, because half the time in the video, he's just trying to get his hair out of his face. Get a fucking haircut or put some gel in that shit, dude, because it really fucking pisses me off.
He is very clever. And actually, that kind of counts like for being a bit witty. Like, you'll find that sometimes clever people are quite, you know, you see it on QI and stuff as well. Like, the smart people sometimes, although they're not obviously very funny people, they are quick-witted often.
Yeah.
And I think he's got enough wit to to keep it fun.
Yeah.
I will say this. I know he does a lot of prep. I know Tom Scott does a lot of prep, and I have a lot of respect for that. That he researches.
Well, he has to do that.
But he researches it to the point where sometimes he realizes that he doesn't actually have a story. He did a video about how often there's bias in videos, and like, he's very aware that people take things that they see quite literally as the truth. But he's trying to explain to you, look, this is not the truth, because there's different versions of what happened. Like, he goes to that town, that mining town in Australia that's like everybody lives underground because it's so fucking hot.
Yeah.
And it was like his version of that. He's like, I asked this guy and he said that. And I asked this guy and he said that. So the bias is, who do I believe? And then I present that to you and then you assume that's the truth. But I am wrong. Like, I can easily be wrong. And I thought that was actually one of the best things he said in his videos. He also does stuff like go underground into caves a lot. And I find that very, that gets my blood pressure going. I can't handle that shit. He went into the big oil tank to see if he could find what is the most echoey room, which I thought was the kind of thing that you think, who comes up with that? But that's amazing. It's like an oil tank that they used in World War II to store fuel underground, and it needs to be underground, so if we got bombed, you know, the fuel would be all right. And he went in there and he made a noise, and they had these very sensitive mics to detect the sound bouncing. About how long did that echo stay in that room for, since it had nowhere else to go, which was quite interesting. Cody's lab, he does some stuff as well.
So that guy is a bit of a bit. I have a love-hate relationship. A lot of his stuff is incredibly weird and boring and crazy. Like, he doesn't really appear to know what he's doing.
Cody?
A lot of the time. Yeah.
I will say this. I want you to play Cody Bingo, all right? And the number one word you have to look for is precipitate. He says precipitate all the time in his videos. He's like, we'll just let that precipitate out. Well, the sulfur will precipitate out from the nitrous sulfur fuck slide. No problem.
I love the Kermit the Frog voice for the science bit.
So if you like that sort of stuff, I recommend Professor Vsauce, obviously. He's just all of, 'cause Vsauce did like a whole 3 seasons of this Mindfield for YouTube Premium or whatever, and it's all just come up free on YouTube, and it's like really worth a watch because he's an interesting guy. He's kind of gone a little bit less, because sometimes Vsauce does like the most ridiculous math videos of all time, and you're like, you've lost him in like 2 minutes flat, but it seems to carry on.
I'm annoyed by him because people keep saying, you look like Vsauce, because I'm bald and have some chin hair.
Oh, I
and
see.
Glasses.
You're nothing
so
like
watching
him.
I'm just like, he's like a lot of things, he's like a reflection of me who is much more successful. So you know when you have like a bad mirror?
I know what you mean.
You have a bad mirror, and you know that you look all right in real life, and the mirror is kind of fucked up and a little faded, and maybe some of the backings come away, and your mirrored image is like really bad. And you think, oh, this mirror sucks. I am the bad reflection in the mirror that you think, oh, God.
There is this this jealousy thing. When I sometimes sense it, like when I see someone doing something similar to me and I'm like, why is that guy so much more successful? And it's like this little jealousy, annoyed kind of, oh, God, I hate how good this guy is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I get that a lot sometimes.
You hate how good guys
stuff.
Are?
I love... yeah.
Cool.
So, right, we'll move on. I went to ParadoxCon this week.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got some terribly long-winded anecdotes about what happened.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
did
shit.
Did they announce
you know
a bunch of games that won't be out till 2021?
Fuck, yeah. I remember getting an email from somebody like months...
Simon Callahan.
Months ago saying, do you want to go to PDXCon? I was like, yes, but let me confirm. And fuck, I never did. And then it was all of a sudden, oh, it's PDXCon this weekend. Oh, shit. I forgot to confirm. So I could have gone. And I wanted to go.
I thought you told me you couldn't go.
No, I didn't. I didn't confirm
back.
It was
back. Just me and Duncan. It was the most lonely fucking PDXCon of all time.
I could have gone. And it would have been exciting, right? They announced CK3, which is huge. Fuck, I can't wait.
There's a guy called Simon Callahan who always emails me, right? And I woke up and I looked and I had 7 emails from Simon Callahan. Video! First expansion of Age of Wonders. Video! Stellaris with new expansions. Video! Battletech! And then I thought the last one was Crusader Kings 3, which is obviously the last announcement they made. Now, a lot of people were like really hyped for that because they love CK. I know you love CK2. But the CK2, after like 5 years of expansions and DLC, this is the problem with the DLC model, inherently, is unless the game is like a total rebuild, reinvention, It's like Civ suffers from this. It's like, well, the new Civ's coming out, but everybody knows it's going to be shit until four DLCs down the line and a bunch of patches and mods. So surely Paradox have backed themselves into a corner. Crusader Kings 3, I would be excited.
Well, this is actually...
If I could see how they could improve CK2.
This is actually the very first thing they said when we sat down, and they were like, look, we've got 7 years worth of DLC here.
Yeah.
What's going to be put in? And they said, we're going to put almost everything in.
Oh, please.
Straight away. And I was like, exactly, how can they put everything in? But I think a lot of the shit that was added in the DLCs was stuff that wasn't all that important anyway.
I think the main thing is that when you're setting up a game, stuff that was introduced in a DLC previously that some people liked and some people didn't, I think you just need to have an option to enable and disable stuff, right? Like, because I heard that the trade places like Venice and stuff are going to be like base game, which they weren't in CK2. Like, it was a DLC sort of thing. Some people are saying, I don't like them. You know, I don't like how they work or whatever. I wouldn't want them in the base game or whatever. But I'm sure there's going to be an option to just sort of say, you know, don't have them.
I think
on.
They've got an opportunity, you know, to simplify the game a bit too, like for new players. I mean, there is a certain thing with Paradox games that you invest 100 hours in learning the fucking thing. So I think having the knowledge that we have of CK2 is going to serve us well on CK3. I feel like those hours that I've spent learning it haven't been wasted, because it seems like a lot of the shit's still the fucking same. But also, I think that the wrestling with the UI for me was a big part of CK2,
yeah.
And they've changed a lot of that. Like just being able to see stuff, like classically, like if you want to find out whether someone of your dynasty has married someone else, it's like such a fucking fiddle to get through the UI and like, and I think they've really just dumped, like drilled down on that. I think the main thing about CK3 is that it focuses on your dynasty, and it's like the idea really is not for you to try and play it like you're playing Civ. It's to kind of be like these old school dynasties back in the day, where you would marry off your family to as many families as possible, and then they'd all fucking pop up back, and you'd be like, okay, this great great grandson, you know, has got a fucking heir to the throne of Bavaria, and this fucking guy's now he's sired all these children off in fucking Sweden, and is, you know, is now going to take over the king of that. And before you know it, you've got like fingers in pies all over the fucking place. That's what it's supposed to be. You know, you're supposed to be all like knocking off people left, right, and center, and scheming and murdering and Game of Thronesing it, really, rather than just trying to play slow expansion simulator. And then,
well,
you know, you're
I mean, you want to paint the map. But you want to have a tight dynasty while you're painting it.
So yeah,
you got to keep on.
My
top
liege,
of shit.
Dynasty report. Situation is tight. We've got a tight dynasty.
We've got to have a tight dynasty.
We have some very tight children.
No, the last run I had a CK2 was like the fucking best. Holy shit, it was so good. I owned everything. My empire was enormous. It was so big I could not control it anymore. It just descended into chaos almost instantly. But
yeah,
man, it was fun.
Like a real, real civilization. I mean, that's always the thing about power, isn't it? You think, oh, I'd love to be the king. But being the king is like this terrifying position of power, because everyone else wants to be the king and they're all looking to fucking put you down. You can't trust anyone. And it's like, you know, you're constantly living in fear. You know, often like people don't realize that, but getting to the top is like this position that you never want to be in. So I don't advise it. Anyway, went to Paradox Con. Saw CK3, thought it was okay, or at least looks good for now. I think it's time for a reinvent and a relaunch.
Yeah.
And it seems like that they the other thing is they've actually got, I don't know if you remember this, but there's a guy called John Schaefer who made a game called At the Gates.
Fucking hell.
I heard about that. I never
went to work for PDX, and then they got rid of him, and he's gone back to making At the Gates, and it finally came out, and everybody was like, this isn't very good. Has he updated it or something? Because I fucking kickstarted that shit.
No, but one of the guys who was working on it, at the Gates, I think has gone back and is working on CK3. And I think he's added the same tooltips in tooltips model to CK3, which I am in love with. Basically, it's like a tooltip, and that you can click on things in the tooltip to like teach you the game. And at the Gates, that was the best thing about At the Gates. It was the tooltips within tooltips.
What a game.
Thing.
That sounds thrilling.
It's the same guy who's coded that. Look, just before we move on, tooltips with the tooltips, that's what it's all about for me. Fucking loved it. Anyway, so went to Paradox Con. Okay, first of all, when we were traveling there, I had that they obviously The flights were booked by someone, but I had to go from Bristol to Amsterdam, from Amsterdam to Berlin.
Right.
And Duncan was like, oh, God. Because Duncan sort of didn't realise that this is what was happening when he turned up in the morning. He was like, oh, we've got to go through Amsterdam. But they always lose my luggage. And I was like, I'm sure it'll be fine. Anyway, they lost my luggage.
Oh, my God. How? Dude, so in 2019, how does this happen?
But also...
I don't want to jinx myself, but man, I've never lost luggage. Like,
I think it was to do with the fact that we were... When we got to Amsterdam, the plane we were flying had some damage on the bottom. And they were like, yeah, we spotted some panels damaged at the plane. I'm not sure we're going to be able to take off. So they were waiting on the tarmac for like an hour.
Yeah.
And then eventually they were like, yeah, we're not going to be allowed to fly. So we're going to have to get a new plane. So everyone had to get off the plane and we had to wait for a new plane and got on a new plane. Anyway, a journey that was supposed to take like, you know, like 3 hours or 4 hours ended up being like 9 or 10. So we got to like Germany and fairly late, and I went and bought some spare pants and socks.
Nice.
And a toothbrush. Nice. You know, just to keep me going.
Sure. But in Amsterdam,
in Berlin.
Oh,
when
right,
we got
when
there
you got there, I see.
But it was late, and then we went to this so they put on like a dinner, like a drinks and dinner on the first night. And so it was starting at like 8 o'clock at this beer house, and I was like, oh my God. So it's at this point I'd only had like all I'd eaten, like all fucking day, was some avocado on toast, okay, at like 7 in the morning. Because we'd been up since like 6. And I was like, oh, I'll just get some chips and salad, it'll be fine. So anyway, we got there, and it's like this fucking... They booked out like 70 people's worth of tables in this beer house, okay? And there's beer everywhere, okay? We can order beer, but they're like, don't worry, we're going to order food later. So I was like, okay, cool. Can I not order it now? No. Okay. And there's one guy in this beer house assigned to 70 people, one like server. I don't know whether this is normal, okay? And like each booking gets assigned a server. Do you know what I mean? And it's like the standard thing, like you're going to get this group of people.
Right.
And but when he was like talking to me, he was like, oh yeah, I don't get tips. I'm not going to get tips or anything. So I was like, I just asked him like, why are you the only guy? And he's like, oh, it's policy or whatever. And I was like, and so 70 drunk journalists and like influencers and Paradox people in this beer house, one guy trying to bring us...
That's ridiculous.
Bring us beer. And then finally he comes around to take a food order.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, can I have some chips and salad, please? And then like 2 hours go by and there's no fucking chips
a
and salad.
A meal fit for a king.
We're all completely drunk.
God, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, that sounds
no
bad.
No food came.
Look, I mean, I hate that excuse. It's policy. Yeah, it's your policy and it sucks.
Yeah.
Obviously.
It was so ridiculous.
It's policy, dum-dum.
He couldn't possibly...
Like, I don't care if it's your policy. How about this? Get 5 people to serve that many people. Even then, it's going to be hard work. Like, that's a lot.
The thing is, I started making jokes to people about it, like, to try and lighten it up. I was like, oh, so I went over to the thing and I was like, do you guys know there's only one guy serving 70 people here? And the people at the front desk were like, oh, yes. And I was like, okay, cool. Cool. I was just like, I was like deliberately hinting to anyone who would listen, like, all the staff and like, but no one, they didn't do anything about it.
You know what, I fucking hate, like, I don't mind it sometimes. If someone's busy, it's not their fault. But what I hate is when everyone can see this is stupid. Like, this is bad. Why, this makes no sense. You would never have set it up like this on paper, but that's the way it's ended up, and no one's going to do shit about it. That drives me crazy. You can see
I
this
know,
is illogical.
It's really funny.
This is the you're losing money. Like, if we can order less stuff, you make less money. We're just sitting here for
yeah.
free.
Yeah,
stupid.
That's what it was. I think if they'd actually served us properly, we would have bought loads more anyway. So fucking, we went to ParadoxCon, and it's basically they rented out like a huge pirate radio station in the east side of Berlin, which I feel like from my limited amount of driving around Berlin, the east side still feels a lot more run down than I thought it would be. I mean, I went and saw the Berlin Wall and did all the stuff, so I know about the history and the Cold War and blah, 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 but it still didn't feel like... It still felt a bit grimier. I don't know.
It's
than
architecture, isn't it? It's all very... It's
very yeah, very brutal.
Very,
anyway,
Minecraft so... playthrough, I'm sorry to plug it again, but features a lot of disgusting, soulless architecture like Soviet Russia. So I'm just saying, if that's your thing.
Stop on
Sometimes
by.
Sometimes that's the style. I can get behind it. I didn't hate it.
No.
I was just a sort of Berlin's such a dichotomy, really. Anyway, I went to this place, and of course, I think a little bit like because we've done YogCon and I've done a lot of this stuff, I only saw mistakes, really. It's generally a really good, well-organized con, I think.
Yeah.
But on the first day, it was pretty empty. So there was like, cause it was like a press day, and they were just all setting up and stuff.
Yeah.
And they showed us the games sort of before the crowds arrived. And because of that, I think without the crowds, the place was freezing cold. And all we had is like hot coffee. Like, and there were no like warm rooms to go in. So anyway, we're all there in our jackets and coats.
But did they
right?
not have like a room filled with computers that? I mean, that would have just
Well, the thing is, it was a huge open mega warehouse with a stage in the middle and booths around the edge. So it was kind of like, it was just like 5 degrees in there. And so me and Doug were just like holding on to cups of coffee. And just by about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd had like 5 cups of coffee.
Oh, my God.
Wired.
Sweating, brow sweat, eyes wide open.
I quickly realized how much I enjoy Paradox games. You know, I really enjoyed the morning, so I enjoyed playing, like, I enjoyed seeing Age of Wonders and Stellaris and Hearts of Iron and the Battletech and the new stuff for all these games.
Yeah, I guess they announced a lot of stuff, didn't they? I played that after Surviving the Aftermath.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's on the...
It's pretty early.
Yeah.
But it's all right.
It's promising. It's Surviving Mars, basically, but in a different setting with a couple of different mechanics and stuff. But I think it's all right.
Yeah,
for a city builder, resource manager sort of thing.
They're all fine. All the games are good, honestly. And you know, I had a nice time. Everyone's lovely. Berlin's nice. And then so they got to like lunchtime, and they sort of put on like lunch for us, obviously, and it was very kind of them to do that. But the lunch was lasagna.
Right.
With
beef.
That's it.
Beef in it.
You can either have... Well, no, there was either lasagna or vegetarian lasagna. So you could have eaten it, but obviously I couldn't. So I had some lettuce leaves.
Why couldn't you eat it?
Because he's a vegan now.
You can't eat cheese.
What's wrong with
lasagna? It's got dairy in it. Cheese.
What's wrong with cheese?
Look, I'm not going to complain. This is not the complainy bit, okay?
Cheese
isn't a living thing,
Lewis. It's just cheese.
I was totally fine. I'm not complaining, but here's the bit I'm complaining about. So we got to the evening, and they had like a party, right, for us, and so with like a buffet, and so the fucking buffet was like little dishes with something in them. So like, you know, a strip of beef on like some leaves, or like a strip of salmon on something, you know, just tiny small buffet things. And then, but they had a large display of little bowls of a square of lasagna. And I was like, that lasagna looks strangely familiar. Is it all of the lasagna that wasn't eaten at lunchtime?
Well, that's fine. You know.
What recycling it?
What are they going to do? Just chuck it all in the garbage? What a waste.
Yeah, but it was like it was like a fancy buffet.
Garfield would have had a fucking heart attack. He would have eaten all that shit.
I was like, okay, fair enough. But like, I didn't want it at lunchtime. I'm certainly not going to want it now.
Yeah, well, I mean, some people might have loved it so much at lunchtime that they were like, fuck yeah, dinner too?
Second.
Holy shit!
More of that amazing lasagna with those slightly wilted carrots and lettuce.
I feel like I won the lottery today. Double helpings of lasagna? Wow!
So I just Googled up on my phone local vegan place and went and took Spiff and Jose and a bunch of guys. We went there and had some noodles.
Wait, so what is wrong with cheese, though? What's the deal?
Cheese comes from an animal. And therefore, vegans don't eat anything to do with animals, like nothing that comes from an animal.
But, so I get that, but what's wrong with cheese? What do you think happens in the manufacture of cheese that's bad for animals?
Well, it starts with milk, right? So
is it because they take the milk from the cows and the cows might want to do something with that milk?
Well, the cows only produce milk to feed their young, so. A cow is purposely impregnated constantly to keep it producing milk that is then not given to a baby cow and bottled for human consumption. And that's why vegans don't drink it.
Milk is fantastic if you're a baby cow. But if you're a human being, a 36-year-old man, it's not the best.
For the record, I'm not a vegan. And for the record, I'm a 39-year-old man. I drink tons of milk, and there's nothing wrong with me.
Milk is not allowed to be called nutritious.
There's nothing wrong with me, though, Lewis. I'm fine.
People are like, oh, you need calcium for your bones. Don't get me on the vegan agenda here, P-Flex.
I just want to understand what the issue is with cheese.
That's what I just said.
Same issue as with milk.
You take a little bit of milk.
Yeah.
I mean, where's the harm? I mean, what would happen to these cows if they didn't make milk, Lewis? Where would they be?
Well, their babies are normally slaughtered for whatchamacallit? I think
veal?
For rennet and, veal, I think. Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to be a dick about it. You know, sometimes, like, if I'm given a cheese pretzel and I haven't eaten all day, I will eat a cheese pretzel and I'm not going to complain.
But what about
I'm not going to, like, lodge a complaint with the airline.
What about the cheese in it?
But, well, I don't care. Like, at the end of the day, I think if it's already done, it's already done. But I just generally avoid it when I don't have to eat it. You know, when I'm given no choice, I'm just going to eat whatever. But... you know, I feel like it's not good for you. There's this illusion that cheese is somehow healthy, and it's not.
I don't think anyone thinks cheese is healthy.
Or like milk. All right, people think milk's healthy, and it's not. It's just simply not.
I mean,
it's
to be fair, we as Europeans were able to develop lactose tolerance past childhood, and that was kind of a big reason for us getting as far as we did, because milk's like a really good thing
for kids to drink. It's got a lot of stuff in it that they would normally not get because kids don't want to fucking eat anything. They just want to sit around drinking.
That's certainly true. Yeah, I think if your kid has a terrible diet, you should also
I think every kid does, though. That's
calcium.
The thing.
But calcium is obviously the only thing going for it, and even that you get from other stuff.
If you eat properly, yeah. But I mean,
rip.
For people who don't eat properly, which is the vast majority of you, unfortunately, I think milk is pretty good.
Let's not go down the cheese problem.
I just want to understand the logic behind saying, I mean, you know, the argument against dairy cows and mass farming, I get it. Like, I hate to see animals treated badly.
Yeah.
I try to buy free-range stuff. I don't want to see...
Sure.
So I don't want to eat meat from a cow that's been tormented for my enjoyment and to make... I mean, I know that they do things like...
There's definitely more humane ways of doing it, but vegans don't see any of it as humane, so they don't. Which is
I took my advice from this guy called Dr. Greger, who wrote a book saying how not to die. And he basically just puts together a lot of scientific studies on a lot of different people throughout history, whether it's people who are on an island and don't have any animal products, or, you know, people who eat different things like the Mediterranean diet, or religious people who don't eat animal products for religious reasons. And they just live longer, have healthier, better, happier lives by not consuming any animal products. So that's how I follow.
Yeah.
That's what I've believed in.
What?
And
so you think,
you know,
I'm going to die early because I eat cheese?
I've been suckered in on the old propaganda bullshit.
Let me tell you something. But I can't even eat cheese.
You know what? If it makes you happy, who gives a fuck?
Exactly. But I can't even eat cheese anymore. I used to love cheese. I disagrees with me now.
Yeah, I'm the same
like
with...
I developed some kind of... I can't drink a lot of milk. If I drink too much milk or anything, like, I've developed lactose intolerance as I've gotten older, which is standard. Like, a lot of... As you get older, you develop.
Your gutty works change, right? Like, I'm the same with a lot of different food. A lot of different food that I didn't like when I was younger. I guess my palate has now decided to accept it.
You used to swallow a lot of cum.
Well, this is it. And now I find myself eating... a lot of shit directly out of an ass, which I never had the stomach for before, but now...
Triforce fans, that's 44 minutes and 14 seconds into the podcast. But people like to time these things.
That's a new record, yeah.
So yeah. Apparently some vegans have an issue with honey.
Yeah, well, it's the byproduct of a living thing. But the thing is, that, like, I've spoken about this before, like, not on here, but... The other thing as well for vegans is that
honey's borderline.
There's degrees of veganism as well, right? Because some vegans are just like, yeah, okay, I don't eat honey, I don't have dairy or whatever, I don't eat meat and stuff, but we'll still go out and buy unknowingly products that have, like, say, palm oil in it, for example, which is super bad for the environment.
It comes from the palm of the hand of a child. Well, they raise children.
It's not that. It's to get these things set up and to get them ready for mass manufacturing. You have to tear down like tons of
I avoid
forest,
palm oil because it's
rainforest,
a bad thing,
everything. Right? Yeah. So you have to take into account the habitats of animals as well through all this. So
of course.
Any component to mass manufacturing is going to have take its toll on habitats.
I agree.
So you also can't really buy into that, but a lot of people unknowingly do. Because we live in a Western society, you know, we're used to getting everything in a can instantly off the shelf where there's just an abundance of everything and whatever. We're conditioned in a big way, but so like you have to think about all of that stuff too.
So honey, all right, it says here on Wikipedia, some vegans believe that exploiting the labor of bees and harvesting their energy sources is immoral. I mean, we could pay them, I guess. We could work out. Well, it's an exploitative process to take the bee who works for free and take his honey. It is morally.
Well, wrong. I mean, whatever. If that's what they believe. I mean, it has no effect on you. I mean, you go buy
it,
honey.
It does, because we need bees. And I think beekeepers do a really sterling job of keeping bees alive and looking after them raising awareness of the problems.
Yeah.
That, frankly, your average bee is facing on a day-to-day basis. And we need to be more aware of them. I'm a big fan
of
beekeepers.
Yeah. And the fact that some people don't consume any of it is a good thing as well. Like, fair play to them. And then for all of the people who do, that awareness is there as well. It's just good that exists or whatever. We're also really lucky to live in a day and age where there's so many alternatives. Like, you know, 20 years ago, there wouldn't be. Have been,
there's no
you know?
Alternative to honey, my friend.
No, there's but no. there's ways around everything now. Even like there's even like vegan cheese now. There's, you know, we can make like fake meat out of fucking mushrooms and stuff. Like it's the best time to get into any
future.
Of this stuff. And
I'll
it's a lot
what,
more sustainable
the fake meat,
too.
The fake meat is now so good that I actually Mrs. F sometimes because she
makes corn.
She's a
corn
conniving
burgers.
Bitch. Yeah. I mean she's wow. She's tricky.
I mean the thing is it's better
just,
for
I'm just checking if she's still listening.
Better for you as well. There's far less cholesterol in it. Like it is.
But she sneaks stuff in there.
Yeah.
So she'll serve me dinner and I eat it. She's like, "What do you think of that?" And the moment she gets that little crafty look on her face, I think I know what's up here. And I said, "Yeah, it was good."
You
she
flip
goes,
the plate. It and was you no meat. And you're like, it was "You bitch! You give me a fake meat again."
That was made by bees who were paid minimum wage. And I'm like, oh, I can taste the, oh, I can taste the morality in this.
I'm not a vegan. And I still eat honey and stuff, and I'm unlikely
to keep the economy of Jersey going.
I'm unlikely to change my ways in that sense, but I think it's good that some people have cut all of that out of their diet, and I'm glad that like those people have the willpower to do it and are aware of the issues and stuff.
I'm sorry about my vegan agenda, guys. I know a lot of people feel strongly about this, and I feel I get it, like totally. I would have like probably even like a couple of years ago been like rolling my eyes at all this shit. It's I don't know, it's just something which I followed it as a religion, and it could well just be bollocks, but I like it. It works for me, makes me happy.
If you're happy,
don't be mad.
Yeah,
here's the thing. You know when people say if you're not harming anybody, go for it.
Yeah,
you're really not harming not only anybody but anything by being a vegan. So I would never argue.
You're harming capitalism.
I've misused some vegetables though. Some vegetables have had a real bad time. I've really
you really got that cucumber and did not see what was coming. All of a sudden it was in this dark cave and it smelled like poop up there, and it was, where am I? What is this man doing to me? In and out and in and out, faster and faster. I don't know where I am.
Covering me in this slippery substance.
What if we discovered that vegetables and plants had a brain? Like, we just discovered they had some level of consciousness and pain, which I know I listened to a thing on Radio 4 where they talked to a lady who listens to plants.
Yeah.
And they actually do make
that's very
noise.
Radio 4, isn't
very.
It?
Yeah.
And
I mean, you couldn't pick a more appropriate Radio 4 thing.
And it was quite sweet. And they found that plants change their behavior when there are bees around. Like they can hear, or they're not hear in the way we can, but they respond to the sound of bees and stuff like that. So there is some kind of communication going on, and they'll talk to each other. Like if one of them, a tree in like an area gets infected by something, it sort of let the other trees know by secreting this chemical that the other trees then respond to. So there is some level of communication. Now, I wonder how far do you have to take the definition of living things and intelligence and suffering along before you accept that we really shouldn't eat anything, and we should just, maybe we should just eat each other would be the ultimate.
No.
Right.
But, you know, like, I think aiming to
just,
do
things, just putting it out there.
I think thinking long term and trying to do things that are a bit more sustainable in the long term is never a bad thing, right? Like, wait.
I hope you're right. I hope that they don't discover that actually tofu production is terribly bad for the environment. And I mean, it's not being made en masse the way meat is.
No.
I mean, the fact that they're cutting down rainforests to grow cows and stuff, I get it. Like, that sucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we do eat too much meat. I get it.
It's not.
Come on.
No, I know. But there's degrees too. There, you know, it's never black and white, right? There's always bits in between. Some people take it further than others and stuff. It's just how it goes, right?
They won't have eggs. Yeah. They won't even have eggs.
Fuck eggs.
What kind of eggs?
No mayonnaise, no cheese, no eggs. I mean,
can't even have cream eggs because Lewis can't even eat chocolate. He has to get vegan chocolate, right? Because there's
no. I can eat dark chocolate.
Oh yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Dark chocolate's really nice, actually. I like it. Yeah, that's one thing I used to hate when I was a kid. Now I love it. I love dark chocolate now. I used to hate it. I used to not be able to eat it at all. Now I eat so much of it that I make myself sick.
Yeah.
Almost daily. I've got a problem. Send help.
Can't stop eating the chocolate.
It's fine. I think everything in moderation.
Yeah.
You know, like eggs are not great. But, you know, as long as you don't have more than one a day, you'll probably
be
all
right. Have you guys ever played Rainbow Six Siege?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I've been playing it recently. I've developed a love-hate relationship with that game.
I get owned from
very quickly.
Yeah. So many nerd angles in that game.
I know.
Like, there'll be a tiny crack in a wall, and I'm like, what's this hole? And there's a guy that kabow! Shoots me. I'm like, what is this?
A hole.
Who knows these nerd angles? This is ridiculous.
I love it and hate it at the same time. I love that you can, like, melee a wall and poke a hole in it and then shoot through that hole at somebody.
Right.
I think that's awesome. But when somebody does it to me, fuck you, you hot dog juice drinking, nerd track pan ass wearing, fucking mom's meatloaf eating, never leave your house, sweaty fucking nerd. Never kill me like that. But
amen.
If I do it, hell yeah, you got owned.
It's hilarious.
You got owned.
It's the best.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting game. I mean, it's a Tom Clancy game. So, you know, like.
Tom Clancy.
Tom Clancy presents Rainbow Six Siege by Tom Clancy. Music by Tom Clancy. Written by Tom Clancy. Sign up now for 25 free Tom bucks.
He's been dead for 10 years.
Yeah, it's just.
But he's back.
Tom Clancy plastered everywhere. But fuck me, it's
2,000 Tom bucks for $9.99 this weekend.
I can see the appeal. I can see why people like it. There's lots of cool little gadgets, and the operators, there's quite a few of them. They all have different abilities and shit. It's like, it's pretty fun. I've been having fun with it.
I feel like you need mates.
You do. Yeah, you got to play with friends game. For sure.
I don't have any mates. I don't play the...
Me neither.
I've just become a fucking loner in the
evenings.
Single player games.
I've got a request for you guys. If you guys want to play Rust, we run a server.
Yeah.
And we wanted to do a thing with you guys for Jingle Jam where we had like an RP server.
Mm.
And because we've been doing that when I'm streaming Rust in the evenings, we've been working in little storylines. So one of the storylines was that I got a note saying, because I opened a shop in Rust, you can open little shops with vending machines, and the cartel turned up, emptied the shop, left it intact, but left a note saying, shut this shop down, you're competing with the cartel, don't do it. And we were like, oh shit. And then it sort of escalated into this whole storyline. I had to go and meet an informant who told me a way to bring down the cartel. It was Professor Brian Cox. And he was assassinated while he was in the middle of telling me the plan. So it was just like all kinds of really funny shit like that. And the guys on my server were just did this. They just came up with it and we just played along with it. So it gave us the idea we should do this with you guys. Like, so at the Jingle Jam, you come in and play Rust, and we've got all kinds of shit prepared for you, lads.
That sounds great.
So that Rust has been great. But my God.
I mean, Rust was in the Jingle Jam bundle previously, right? Like, I think a couple of years running. I don't think it's in this year. I mean, I tell you what, it is Halloween, like this podcast going out, and we haven't really spoken about anything spooky and stuff, but I tell you what's spooky for me, like, you know, I looked at, like, we have to kind of submit the games for the Jingle Jam by the end of October. So kind of like it's a thing that we can get an extra week out of it. But But looking at the bundle, it's been so tricky.
Yeah.
So I had a spreadsheet and I had like my dream list of games for the bundle, yeah. Right? And it was like 100.
I did a sick burn the other day on the Jingle Jam bundle when I said that you guys are going to get Artifact in there, and also further to that, because they just announced a subscription model for Fallout 76. That's going to be in there too, right? I just thought I'd make you aware of the burns just in case you guys were considering adding any of those two games, because shame on you if you are, because that's garbage.
No, so I had a list of about 100 things, and it was basically like 50 kind of like games that we know, like publishers that we know, like all the big guys, like all the big games we've been playing over the course of the year, all the things I've done tips on, all this stuff. And then we had like 50 things on like cosmetic stuff for like, so we had every game, right. Basically. It's like Dota, right. League, TF2, Path of Exile, every right. single game. And like, and I went
all of them through, said like, no, but we got a customized Artifact card back in the bundle. So.
Oh, you fucking nailed it.
And
on
you
the
get,
head.
You, like, we got so, a customized Fallout 76 trinket that you can attach to your gun. In Fallout 76,
it's
as well.
So demoralizing because like all the people that we know are like, sure, we'd love to try and do something, we'd love to get something in, and then like they're like, oh, we just couldn't get it through like the big boss yeah. or whatever, and I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. So the guy in the suit like shut it down at the last yeah. like the last yeah. hurdle, and it's like, just kill me now, like, so difficult. And I know it'll be fine, and we'll have like, I think again it's going to be supported by like this real groundswell of like good indie games.
Yeah,
like,
it was the wrong year to try to push your free Hong Kong t-shirts for the Jingle Jam bundle. Just bad timing.
Yeah, that's gonna be one of the charities. No, so I don't know, like, it's tricky really. I mean, I don't want the Jingle Jam to be like an advert, like a Sunday newspaper stuffed full of like, oh, there's some vouchers and some, oh, I can give you some money off, or yeah. you know, I mean, like, I kind of want it to be authentic and like feel like people get like a good choice of things that they've not seen before, or like it's supposed to be positive for everyone. Yeah. And I just feel like it's so much work from our end, and it's like so demoralizing.
It's not easy, but I want you to bear this in mind. We have a great community when it comes to charity stuff, and I think that a lot of people have understood that the Humble Bundle is a bonus. It's a thing that so that we don't feel that we're just asking people for money for essentially, you know, a good cause. And sometimes you feel like it would be nice to get something in return, and being able to give free games is a great way of saying thank you for supporting it, and a great way of raising money as well, because people buy the bundle and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But I honestly think the community is just really good at understanding that this is important, and the money we raise is really amazing and vital. And I hope that they support it regardless of how many Artifact card backs are in the Humble Bundle. And I have faith
in
them.
I
that
do too. Thank you.
Fucking
B-flex.
Artifact.
That's reassuring.
Unbelievable. I can't believe it. It boggles my mind. It's crazy.
But I mean, even more amazing is Riot Games have brought out their version of Artifact.
Like eight
now.
Games they announced. They've got a first person shooter coming out. They've got a Diablo like game coming out. They've got the card game that's just come out as well. They've got TFT. Like, all of a sudden, this company, like, the joke has been that they've had one game for like over a decade. Now, all of a sudden, they potentially have like eight.
And not one of them is original. Well done, Riot.
But thing is, I heard a year ago that they were hiring like 100 people a week.
But it's all people leaving.
That's how you get quality.
Isn't Riot just Blizzard when Blizzard was good? Like, it's just people that have left Blizzard.
It's like a shotgun
and
approach.
Gone to Riot, basically.
You're definitely going to get that fucking.
I'd like to apply for a job. You're hired. Get in here. You're the new head of business. Huh?
I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure a lot of them are just ex Blizzard. Like, I think people just jump ship from Blizzard and go to Riot, and that's like the career path for them or whatever.
We should start a games company. We'll hire anybody.
Yeah.
And we'll just take a game that's popular and make a copy of it. Oof. Boom.
Careful, Flex.
Okay.
Careful.
What's popular right now? Fortnite.
Yeah, we'll just make we're working on a battle royale game, but it's going to be
call
different.
We'll call it Yognite. And
Minecraft's popular. We could make hang on.
And on that bombshell.
Hang on one second here. Hang on.
Oh, there's a reference.
Good. Anyway, so Lewis, send me the list so I can add some more games to the list, and maybe we can get some other stuff in the bundle.
Yeah. If you know anyone,
like, what if we could try to get some Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. Sign up now for 25 Tom Bucks, and also you can get a customized Lewis avatar put onto your Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege gun. or face.
You know what? I wonder if the Magic the Gathering guys would be interested in putting some card codes or something, some redeemable card codes for Magic Arena. Because I did some stuff with
them. Is that what you're into?
No, I mean, I love it. It's
your
a lot
personal...
of fun. No, I know I did some work for them. I did a sponsored thing for them earlier this year, and the guy, Casey, I think his name was, in charge of the UK stuff.
I'll hit him up.
Yeah, hit
He's
him
a
up.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slide into his DMs. Like, that's what they say nowadays. Slide in there, Lewis.
Yeah. I believe they say slide into his DMs. I don't know why you want to put his shoes on.
Hi, it's me. I'm just sliding into your DMs.
Don't mind me, just sliding
in. Fucking, what is this? Right, we better go. Thanks, everyone. It's all fine. Don't worry. It will work out.
Much love.
Love you all.
Much love.
Peace and love, everyone.
Oh, wait. One quick announcement.
What?
What?
Oh, no, I forgot. No, that's right. Carry on. See you soon.
See you later. Bye.